Welcome to the Health Science Coach Podcast. My name is Drew Garner. I am a health science and physical education teacher here at Turner High School. My objective is to provide information to students about different healthcare careers and explain how these professionals got to where they are in their careers. Thanks for spending some time with us today. Now let's dig in.
Today we get the pleasure of meeting with Lindsay Hazard. She is a registered dietitian and nutritionist and the owner of Cherish Nutrition in Dallas, Texas. Welcome, Lindsay. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Doing great. We were just kind of talking about the weather a little bit. Both of us are having some fall weather today, and a good day to sit and talk about what you do as a nutritionist. Can you explain a little bit what you do as a registered dietitian?
Yes. So as a dietitian, I work with young and teen athletes and help them work on their nutrition to get the most out of their training. So figuring out how often they need to eat, how much they need to eat, recovery nutrition, tournament nutrition, game day nutrition, all of that fun stuff. So a lot of looking at food.
Yeah, absolutely. That would that'd be kind of hard for me daily. I would feel like I would start eating whatever I was looking at. Can you explain some of the acronyms behind your name? We have MCN, RDN, and LD.
Yes. So MCN is, I have my master's in clinical nutrition. RDN stands for registered dietitian nutritionist. And then LD stands for licensed dietitian. So just, I'm licensed in the state of Texas.
Perfect. Awesome. So as a typical week in the life of, or day in the life of, what does that kind of look like as a registered dietitian?
Well, as a business owner, and then I have three children, so all my days look really different. But days I'm working where all the kids are in childcare, I spend most of the mornings answering emails, creating content for social media, blog posts for my website, answering client emails, going over client food journals, and then typically later afternoon and evening is when I see clients, just based, you guys are all in school, so I can't see you during the school day. So after school and evenings is typically when I see actual clients.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So just a lot of job prepping during the day and then meeting with the clients in the afternoon and evenings.
Yeah.
So you studied your undergraduate at Southern Arkansas University, and that's kind of where we met as mm-hmm. athlete. You ran track and cross country there, right?
Yes.
How did you kind of pick Southern Arkansas over some of the other schools in the area?
It was free. I went and met the coach. The coach was great. And really, I had no idea what I was doing when it came to the college process. Oldest child, loved running. So it was a way to keep running and not rack up a bunch of student debt. So, and it ended up being a good decision.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you studied business there and got your undergraduate there. Spent 11 years in the industry working with three different companies. And in August of 16, you kind of made that decision of moving career paths to become a registered dietitian. What kind of made that light switch go off to make you want to jump ship on your marketing and sales career?
So we had our first child in 2015. So prior to having her, I knew I wanted to have a career that I was passionate about. I just felt like I didn't want to stay home all day with my kids. But I knew the type of job I had at that time, there was no way that I was going to think that would be worth leaving my kid for. I was always reading about nutrition. I was running marathons. So as you know, like as an endurance athlete, like you're in the race, nutrition is really important. And so with all of that, I talked to my husband. I was like, I want to go back to school to do this. And he said, quit your job tomorrow. Do it. Let's get started. And so that summer I started taking all of the prerequisite classes that I needed to get into school. I think that was like in 2014, maybe. Okay. And did all that to start grad school in 2016.
Yeah. So jumping from marketing to nutrition, there were, like you said, the prerequisite classes.
Yeah.
What did that kind of look like going from applying or trying to get into a master's program there?
Yeah, so I feel like I was in a unique situation because we had our first child. My husband has his career is in Dallas. So it's like we weren't moving for me to go to school. So there's only a couple schools in the area that have programs to be a dietitian. And from my research, the one in Dallas at UT Southwestern looks like the best option cost-wise. It was great. And then it's a coordinated program. So that means that you do everything, you take all the classes you need to take to get your master's and you do your internship at the same time. And to be a dietitian, you have to have 1200 hours of supervised internship hours. And those can be really hard to find. So getting into a program that just gave you that internship just seems like the easiest way to make it happen. So it was a very intense 2-year program, but got it all done.
Absolutely. What did the prerequisites? I know you had to have a 3.0 and an undergraduate degree to get in. Probably some sort of science classes and biology.
Yes, it was a lot of science. So also like, I'm so old when I went back to school, like most of the science classes I took in undergrad didn't even count anymore. So it was like the basics, biology, chemistry, like 1 and 2, A in anatomy and physiology, 1 and 2, microbiology, genetics, biochemistry, and some other chemistry classes. So lots of science classes. And since then I had a baby during it, it took me, I think it took about 1.5 years to get all the prereqs done.
That's not too bad for the prerequisites. That makes a lot of sense. Now, the graduate program itself was 71 credit hours in total.
I can't remember, but yeah, it sounds good.
Supervised clinical practice hours. How did those clinical hours and taking your graduate level classes coincide at the same time?
So the way the program works is the first part of it is really class heavy. So we, like my first semester, we didn't have any internships. It was all classes. And basically as you went along into each semester, you did more clinical hours or internship hours. They weren't all clinical, internship hours and then less class. So by the final semester, I think we had like maybe 2 classes and the rest of it was finishing up our research project and finishing up our internship hours.
Okay. And while you're doing those clinicals, what are some of the different rotations that you would have done or experiences that you would have seen and gotten from doing that?
Yeah, that was definitely a benefit of this program is they let you kind of pick some of the stuff that you did, but it was very clinically based. So we did a lot of rotations in the hospital. So doing like 2 feedings with ICU all the way to seeing like pregnant moms that are there for gestational diabetes or they're throwing up so much they can't keep any nutrition down. So big variety, did pediatric rotation and then I did soft food allergies, which I really thought that was interesting because the whole management of food allergies is diet. And when you have a ton of food allergies, it really gets tricky to kind of fit in all of the nutrients that that individual needs. And then I did like outpatient, so private practice, trying to think of other ones I did. Those are the main ones. Food service, which not my jam, but it's like prepping or figuring out what's going to be served in hospitals for food and.
Right. Yeah. So now after you graduated, how did you start looking for jobs and kind of go down that path a little bit?
Yeah, so I feel like I was a little unique in this too, because I graduated like 5 months pregnant with my second child. And my husband has a really busy work schedule. He travels a lot. So I know I can't have a normal, like I could not have a hospital job. Those hours just would not work with childcare. And I wasn't super passionate about working in the clinical field. And so I graduated and started my own business. I knew I wanted the flexibility. I really wanted to go after this teen and young athlete demographic. I felt like since being a college athlete, parents really like that too. And you just kind of know what these kids are going through, like what it's going to look like when they get to college. And even though it was a while ago, I still remember fitting it all in. And so I immediately graduated and started my own business and just kind of went for it.
Yeah. Did you do any of the prep work to start that as you were finishing your degree, or how did that kind of...
I should have done more of it. Like looking back, I'm like, I could have started a lot more in undergrad, or in graduate school. But I also think I forget how busy we were with that in parenting responsibilities. So I definitely could have started like social media, website, doing all the stuff to get your LLC. I could have done all of that before I graduated. But I think I did some of it the summer leading up to it. But most of it I did once I was done and had passed that registration exam.
Okay. So your current company that you own is called Cherish Nutrition. Mm-hmm. let's talk a little bit about the types of clients that you see. You know, you mentioned high school and college age demographic. What does that kind of look like for the different sports or the different ages? How does that all play out?
It's really fun because I get to see a big variety, because I've worked with as young as like 9 or 10, all the way up to those that are in college. And so it really just depends on their goals. I've worked with some, especially baseball players, I've worked with lots of them to gain weight for their sport. And so figuring out where they can fit in more nutrition, snacks they can throw in their backpacks, just trying to make it as easy as possible, but letting them know, like, this is not going to happen just by thinking about it. Like, we have to put in the work to make that happen. You have to have these snacks on hand all the time, and just really working with them and supporting them through the process. Other, like my younger ones, it's their parents are like, how much food needs to be, does my kid need to be eating? How can we get my kid to eat more food? I had one that he's like one of my favorite little ones. He couldn't make it through a tryout for a club team, because the tryout process was so just intense. And once we got his nutrition going, his mom's like, he has so much energy at these tryouts, made it through the whole entire week or 2 weeks of the tryout process, and then made the team. So just anything like that, packing for tournaments, game day nutrition, all of the things when it comes to being an athlete.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting to see that just that nutrition gives them that much more energy for their that long of a type of tryout process. Mm-hmm. So what did you learn from your previous jobs in marketing and sales that's helped you grow and establish your Cherish Nutrition?
I think the hustle side of things. So I think we graduated around the same time. We graduated kind of at an unfortunate time in the job market. So I had like sales support jobs. I never really loved any of them, but you have to hustle, like calling companies, especially when I was working at a marketing agency where we did like races, like running races, like finding sponsorships. So like calling people, emailing people, showing up at businesses, just like that hustle side of it, I think I learned a lot of that's helping me today. Because right now I reach out to club teams pretty regularly, reach out to different high schools, just trying to let them know that this resource is available. And if I just sit and hide behind my computer, that's not going to happen.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So in talking to some of my students that are in my Care of Athletes class and healthcare careers, four of them are athletes that I talked with, and they kind of wanted to know, what's the difference that you look at for different types of athletes, sport-wise, and maybe age and gender? So I had a female soccer player, cross-country runner, a female softball player that was a shortstop, third baseman, a 6'5 basketball player who's a senior who's been playing AAU for several years, and a 6'2 swimmer. So between those four vastly different athletes, what are some different things that you would recommend maybe that they look at for themselves?
Yeah, so everything is super individualized. A lot of it is based on size, like height, weight, and then looking at the intensity, like how many hours a week are they training? I've had some athletes that are training over 20 hours a week, which is really insane when you think about it, from that they're in school too. And so a lot of it is looking at their training, what are their goals, and then looking at their sport. What I find is most athletes aren't doing the basics right. So we really are working on our everyday nutrition. What's for breakfast? What's for lunch? What's for dinner? Where are we snacking? Are we getting in those fruits and vegetables? All of the basic things. It takes a while for them to start doing the right things, and then we can get into more of the nitty gritty. So if we're thinking softball player versus cross country runner, the cross-country runner is going to need more carbohydrates because they're just burning more energy with the type of sport that they're playing, where the softball player likely needs a little bit more protein just based on average body sizes. Cross-country runners tend to be just have less muscle mass to them than a softball player. So a softball player would need more protein kind of to support that. It's really like different sizes. If you're bigger, you're going to need more protein than someone who's smaller. Is how I look at it a lot. And then the more you're training, typically the more carbohydrates you need.
The length and time of per day training and intensity level, does that change anything in that as well?
Yes, higher intensity, burning more carbohydrates. So we definitely need to look at adding more carbs, where maybe a golfer is not, it's not super intense practice, but you're out there for a while. So just making sure that you're still meeting your calorie needs, your energy expenditure, but maybe you don't need to be like snacking quite as often as someone who is like that basketball player who's training the same amount of time.
Right. Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. So you also are a part-time employee at Smart Plates Nutrition. What types of clients do you see there?
So it's the complete opposite. And I really took that job to work on my counseling skills, to work on, because you really have to figure out what motivates people. It also has helped me figure out how to tweak things for different individuals and try to, in different ways to approach people, just kind of on where they are on like, how willing are they to change? And so at that job, I see mostly adults. I have seen some athletes there, but mostly adults. It's a lot of weight loss, type 2 diabetes, heart disease. So kind of more of that clinical side, supporting them there. They're not typically referred through a doctor, and it's all like insurance, covered by insurance.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What types of testings do you guys do for like allergies or food sensitivities, stuff like that? With nutrition programs?
So I don't do any, they come to me and already have these allergies. But if I have an athlete now that I'm working with where she's experiencing a lot of stomach issues. And so we're really trying to what is causing these issues with you? So right now she is documenting when she feels those symptoms and anything that she ate before that. And so what I'll do is I'll take a look at her food record and see if I can see any correlation between types of food that are causing those issues. Anyone who's watching this, any of those food allergy tests that you see like on commercials on TV or advertised on social media, like they don't tell you anything, like any true food allergies.
That's very interesting, because a lot of those, and I'm just going to throw this company's name out there, but like 23andMe, they have other supplemental type tests where they talk about food allergies, or they talk about the $100 for what is the best out of your stool sample, how much nutrition are you getting out of here? What have you seen with those in industry or in public use? Working or reliability?
So I don't really have any experience with the stool sample thing, but I do know when anyone, especially I still run, so lots of my runner friends will take those tests and they'll be like, oh, I'm allergic to all these things. And so then what happens is they eliminate all of these things from their diet, and then they're not able to meet their nutrition needs, like, or micronutrient needs. Then they end up hurt, and they're having to work really hard to avoid these foods that they're really not allergic to. You'll know if you're allergic to something.
Yes. Yeah. I'm a weird allergic to a lot of trees and grass, but one that really triggers me that's in food is basil cooked, like while it's being cooked. Yeah. It just makes my sinuses close up and can't breathe. So that's, yeah. If you know you're allergic to it, you'll So you talked about you being still in running and doing marathons, half marathons. When I was being an endurance athlete, I'm 6'2", 200. What would be the differentiations for you versus me while we are, let's say, running a marathon?
You're going to have to take in a lot more fuel than I am. So really when you're looking at like marathons or Ironmans, like you were doing, you look at carbohydrates per hour. I can get away with a lot less than you can. Like, I'm guessing you probably need closer to like 60 grams of carbs per hour, where I can get away with like 30. And so that's the big difference. And then outside of training, you're going to need a lot more food than I am. And you'll need more protein than I do, just because of our body size differences. Even if we were training the same amount, you're still going to need more.
Right. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Do any of your clients that, Smart Plates, were they potential former athletes and maybe high school or college or anything like that?
No.
Okay. No, I was curious, because if they had been, then you could use kind of what they did then or doing now to work with your current high school, college age.
Yeah.
thought that was interesting to see if there's any correlation there.
Like adult athletes, but they weren't like former college athletes.
Right. The recreational runner, 10K, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So you kind of talked about working for that, the advertising company for the marathons, and getting, wanting to be a nutritionist. What was the real passion and development? Where did that come from? You know, when you were, like you said, 2014, your husband basically said, quit your job tomorrow and go do it. There had to have been some buildup of that to see that much passion and commitment to be successful.
Yeah, I guess it was just a slow build. It was something I was always reading about. I just never knew, I think we were talking about this before we started, that I never knew what I wanted to be when I grew up. I just did business because that just seems like a good degree to get to be able to do most jobs. And I just never had a job where I was like, I'm so excited to go to work today. Because I really did enjoy working for the marketing agency where we put on all these races. But I also was like having to work every weekend and I'd have to be there. Like when you do races, you guys, you have to be there at like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. So you should really appreciate all of those people that are out there. And it just wasn't sustainable because I was not ever seeing my husband because I would come home. I'd get home at like 2 or 3 in the afternoon and just be wiped. And then I'd have like a 1 day weekend and go back and do it all again. So it just wasn't sustainable. And then the other jobs were in the technology industry and it just wasn't technology software industry. And it just was not my passion in life. And so I think I was constantly searching for like, well, what am I passionate about? What, cause I think it's cool. Like showing my kids that, you know, mom does other things besides taking care of you. And it's fine if you want to only take care of your kids. That's the hardest job in the world. But I just like having outside interests. And like my daughter will be like, mommy is a dietitian and mommy talks about food. And I just think it's so cool, like showing her that, you know, I decided to do this when I was almost 30 and I still had a lot of life left to live. So I just wanted to find something. I'm like, even 30 is not old. It seems old, but right. Still got lots of time.
Absolutely. So when doing that, you know, there's something very personally rewarding by helping people, be like you talked about that little boy doing the tryouts and getting the energy. What are some other things that are just help you feel rewarding about being a dietitian?
Yeah, there's a lot of female athletes I've worked with, like helping them get their periods back. And that's huge. And when it comes to their health and their durability in the sport, because if you're consistently, it's underfueling will cause, like not eating enough causes you to, female athletes to stop getting their periods. And that can just lead down to a really like bad path when it comes to being able to continue in the sport, because you're so likely to get injured if that's happening. So just like helping them like be able to like finish out their senior season and then go and get to go run in college because they're able to keep themselves healthy. So I think all of that is fun. And just showing them that nutrition doesn't have to be like complicated. You don't have to do fancy things, make fancy recipes. Like you can do very basic things and meet your nutrition needs. It doesn't have to be anything cool.
Yeah. So kind of, I was trying to fit this in earlier, but it works really well now. Energy dense versus nutritionally dense food. You kind of talked about being able to fit those snacks in the backpacks and taking in carbs per hour. What is the kind of the trend of energy dense versus nutritionally dense food, and how can both of them be beneficial to an athlete?
Yeah. So when I think like energy dense foods, I think of foods that are like high calorie. So I think like fast food, candy, like any like ice cream, all of that. So they provide a lot of calories, but they don't give you a lot of like micronutrients, like a lot of bang for your buck. And so one thing that kind of comes to mind is I have a lot of athletes that will drink chocolate milk after training, because it's super convenient and it has like a good carb to protein ratio. But a lot of parents are like, oh, but the sugar. I'm like, but that's what they need after training. So anyway, we can get that sugar, and sugar meaning carbohydrates, and that protein into them after training, we want to do it because it's going to help them recover. Where like, I think of like nutrient dense foods, like peanut butter, it's like high in calories, but it also has a bunch of vitamins and minerals in it. Dates would be like another thing, super high in calories, high in carbs, but it's got good fiber and other micronutrients in it. So like whole yogurt would be like another one, whole milk yogurt. So there's just, I know some foods kind of fit both categories, I guess, but I always like to try to get in the most micronutrients when possible.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some misconceptions that people might have about registered dietitians?
That we're going to make you eat like grilled chicken breasts, broccoli, and brown rice for every meal. That I care what people around me are eating. I'm like, people are like, oh, like this is so bad. I'm like, I really don't care what you're eating. It does not affect me. And I'm not out here like the food police. We are not the food police. I always tell my athletes to be super honest with me because a lot of them will show up scared. And I'm like, I'm literally this 5'3", like tiny human. Like there's no reason to be scared of me. I'm not going to shame you for anything that you're doing. I like in other of my call, like girls I know or women I know that do this too. Like we don't want to shame anyone. We just want to help people get the most out of their training. A lot of these high school athletes I'm working with are training so many hours a day. And they're just putting crap in their bodies. And when I can help someone change that and they're able to like see that muscle growth that they've been looking for, gain that endurance and strength that they've been looking for because they've changed their nutrition, like that's what I want.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. What's something that you're most proud of, maybe within starting your business or working as a dietitian and nutritionist?
I think starting my business with one kid and one on the way, I've had a third child in COVID and I'm still going. I think that's the most proud of because we've just had a lot, I think a lot thrown at us the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, having two kids myself and both of us being teachers, it's definitely been, like you said, full-time job, taking care of kids on top of running your business as well. Do you have anything that you regret not doing professionally? You know, obviously changing careers at 30 is something that you chose to do, but maybe along the way during college or after college that you regret that maybe you wish you would have done earlier.
I mean, I wish I had started doing this earlier, but I don't know. I think that life kind of works out how it's supposed to. I think I wish I had done more research when I was in high school about like what I wanted to do when I grew up. But I think like my parents didn't have a ton of background in that. And I was the first child. So I think, you know, it just kind of ended up how it did. But I mean, I think there's so many things that wouldn't have happened if I didn't take the path I did. So I'm grateful.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now, as like you talked about being licensed in Texas, what are some things you have to do professionally for professional development to keep your license?
Yes, so I have to renew my license in Texas. I think it's every 2 years, and we have to do, I think it's 30 hours of continuing education within that. And then to be a dietitian for like, to maintain like my credentials. So first off, you have to have, I'm pretty sure now you have to have your master's and you have to pass the registration exam, which is no joke. And you have to have those 1200 hours of interning. And so you do that initially, and then every 5 years, I think it's every 5 years, I have to have 75 to 90, I can't remember, hours of continuing education. And I actually think those are pretty helpful. I know in some industries they're not, but mine, especially like as a newer dietitian, I love taking like continuing education webinars, especially when it comes to the athlete side, because I only had like one class on sports nutrition in my master's program. So a lot of it has been me like looking for webinars, reading all the research articles and doing all of that kind of reading books, all the background information to grow this.
So then within that professional development, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that talks about industry trends and nutrition. What are some of the topics that are being bounced around lately dealing with nutrition and sports nutrition?
Yeah, so the internet's real good at I think that's one of the hardest things about my profession is the internet. But like keto is a big thing now, and keto is not for athletes. Athletes, their bodies run on carbohydrates. Their muscles need carbohydrates. And so when carbohydrates as a category have been demonized, that's kind of a big thing that I've seen, especially, you know, if parents are trying to eat keto, they're feeding their kids keto. It's not doing their kids. Kids cannot be fed keto. And so that's a big one. Juice cleanses is another one I get asked about a lot. And our bodies do not need to be cleansed. Like, we have organs that do that for us. I think those are the big ones I've seen a lot of lately.
Yeah. That's kind of funny that we do have those organs that are natural to do that for you. Yeah. What are some things that you kind of mentioned also that you're still a runner, you ran in college, ran in high school. What are some things you do for your just personal development?
Yeah, so getting back into running after the third baby has been difficult. And so what I really try to do is just like, I'm trying to make sure like that I actually eat the three meals a day that I'm supposed to, that I eat. Like, so I train in the morning, so always make sure I get up early enough to get in some carbohydrates, especially before doing any kind of workouts. But really just trying to give my body all the vitamins and minerals I can. So eating lots of fruits and vegetables, making sure I am getting in carbohydrates to support all the running that I'm doing. But just knowing, especially since I'm still nursing my baby, that I need to be getting in a ton of good nutrients to keep my body from getting injured so that I can keep going.
Yeah, that's really good. So you've been in the industry 3 years, working with your business. What are some career goals you have for yourself kind of set, look maybe at 5 to 10 years down the road? What do you want to try to accomplish?
Yeah, so I have like big goals. I am actually stopping my part-time job at the end of this year because I've grown enough where I can sustain myself without having to have that part-time income. I really have big goals of creating resources for athletes to download off of my website. So snack guides, game day nutrition guides, supplement guides, and just really being like a one-stop like shop, I guess, when it comes to sports nutrition, and really getting to work alongside organizations in the Dallas area to just really like be integrated more with the program where nutrition is part of your training program, because it really should be. And I love how more people are becoming aware of what an impact nutrition can have.
Yeah, absolutely. And you kind of talked about starting your business with COVID within, you know, 6 months to a year of your business. How did that transition of, you know, maybe from in-person to virtual meetings go? And are you going to continue doing virtual meetings with people outside of maybe the Dallas area?
Yes. Yeah, so the virtual, like being able to see people virtually has been huge. It's a lot easier for athletes because they're busy. So they can just like hop on their computer rather than having to drive somewhere. But in person, it still is my favorite. Like I love when I can have people come to my office or I can go to their houses. That's great. Or getting to speak to teams in person is great. Just getting like that interaction. But it's been really cool to talk to different teams like all across the United States because of COVID. Like people are more kind of like what you were saying earlier, able to be like, oh, like, why don't we just do this online and everyone can watch it later. So it's been COVID, man. Yeah. It was just with like no school for kids and everything too. It was hard.
Yeah, it definitely was. Something that just popped into my mind too, thinking about like getting in front of teams and talking about nutrition. I'm sure there's a lot of questions that come up about supplementation, especially for high school, college athletes, you know, thinking about supplementing with protein or supplementing with a whole bunch of vitamin packs. Mm-hmm. What are the like kind of the current industry standards on supplementation and why would somebody maybe need to supplement versus people that don't need to supplement?
Yeah. So when I work with athletes, I have them do a dietary analysis. So I have them fill out a 3-day food log. and try to have them be as exact as possible. And I'll go through and see if I see any like vitamin and mineral deficiencies. So if we're seeing anything there, vitamin D is a popular one that most of us are deficient in. So I noticed they're low in vitamin D. I definitely will recommend let's start supplementing with vitamin D. When it comes to the supplement industry as a whole, it's not a regulated industry. Basically, products are not inspected before they're put out on the shelf. And so what, as an athlete, what we have to be really aware of, especially my high school and my college athletes, is like, is there something in the supplement that is illegal, that is banned, that I should not be putting in my body that could be dangerous to my health? And the only way for us to know that is for them to be third-party certified. So that means another organization not affiliated with the brand of the supplement at all comes in and they test the supplement and they make sure that what is on the label is actually in the product and there's nothing else in there.
Yeah.
Supplements, I think a lot of athletes and coaches and families think that these supplements are going to create magic results. And I always tell them, if this supplement is doing something crazy, it's probably not legal. And so when I am working with athletes and we are like adding in supplements, so maybe someone is nailing down their diet and they're like, okay, like what else can I do? Maybe we'll add in some creatine, but we're going to make sure it is third-party certified. And it's going to actually have an impact because their diet's great. If your diet's not great, supplements aren't going to do anything. Besides, when it comes to vitamin and mineral supplementing, we can at least get that in so they're not deficient.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So with that, then also, what would a third party certification company, who are they, I guess?
NSF is like the big one, like the gold standard. So if you ever look at a bottle, it'll have like a little like symbol that says NSF on it. Informed Sport is another one. And then USP is another one. And it's labeled. It's on the product. And then you can also look at NSF or Informed Sport, and they have lists of supplements that they say are safe.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's really cool to be able to for them to know what they should at least start to look at as far as that. Is there anything you wish you would have known in high school or maybe early on in college that would help you with your career now?
I think I wish I had known how much the internet was going to fight me in my day-to-day profession, because people will be like, oh, I read this online, or I've been working with a client for weeks and they're like, oh, my friend told me that I should start doing XYZ. I'm like, why are you listening to your friend rather than someone? Like, I am a nutrition expert. I studied this. I have my master's in this. I've done all of these internship hours in this. I literally do this every day. And so why, if someone does this on TikTok, do you start doing this? So I think I wish I had known that, and that the dietitian, like, it's just not always like a respected, group. You really have to go in and prove your worth and prove like what you're doing. It does work and it is important. But I feel like we're always fighting. And I think part of that's just because we're a female industry. And so we're just having to kind of be like, no, we're here and we like know what we're talking about.
Yeah, that is very true. I think that, you know, by internet experts of, I can post whatever I want on social media. Now I'm automatically the expert on that. And, you know, starting and talking about healthcare careers, I'm a health and PE teacher, and so I want to get the experts on here to talk about their fields, so that way kids know what their, you know, what the field actually looks like. So kind of that next part is, this is a three-part question. So the first part of it is, what advice do you have for a high school, let's say junior, senior, that says they're interested in becoming a nutritionist or a registered dietitian?
Yes. So nutritionist and dietitian are two different things. Like, anyone can be a nutritionist. Not everyone can be a dietitian. Dietitian, I would say, is kind of the gold standard. Like, we have to be credentialed. Like, we have to pass that registration exam. Like, we have to have this education. You could say you're a nutritionist. Some states it's more regulated, but most states, anyone can say they're a nutritionist. So I would say, like, if you really are interested in nutrition and you have a passion for nutrition, the dietitian route is the way to go. Unfortunately, like, they've made it a little bit harder, like having to have your master's. And so I would just definitely like make sure it is something that you really are passionate about. It's definitely a field that's a little underpaid. But, you know, starting your own business is kind of a way to work around that. But just it's I love it because there's so many different directions you can go. Like if I decide in 5-10 years that I no longer want to work with athletes anymore, I could decide I want to work with like pregnant women. I could decide I want to work with moms like working, like trying to get around picky eating, or I could decide I want to work with eating disorders or people with type 2 diabetes. There's so many different like paths you can take in the profession. So I think it's nice because if you decide you don't want to do an area anymore, there's plenty of other areas that you can try to get your foot in the door in.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Second part of that is any advice for students that are studying dietetics in their undergraduate or in their graduate degrees, what advice would you have for them while they're in school?
Yeah, I would definitely network. So when you have those internships, really get to know the people that you're working with, really try to impress them so you can use them as resources later. If you are wanting to be an entrepreneur and start your own thing, like there's no reason you can't start now. Like you can call yourself a nutritionist if you want, or you can just say RDTV, but you can start social media. I get a ton of referrals from my Instagram account. So you can start building a website, writing blogs, working on social media, all of the things like that before you're licensed and registered and all of that.
Okay. Yeah, that's really good. And then the third part of the question is advice for a recent graduate, maybe someone that is graduating currently or has just graduated within 3 months or 6 months, looking for a job in dietetics.
Yeah, so around here, I've actually seen quite a few job openings in the Dallas area, but it just kind of depends the field that you want to get into. Most people will say, like, you have to do clinical first. Like, if you don't do clinical, you won't be able to find another job. I don't think that's necessarily true, but if you are interested in the clinical side, like, start working in the clinical side, because once you're out of it, like, it would probably be hard for me to go back and find a clinical job because I haven't been working in it. And I would just, you know, reach out to anyone that you interned for, like, be like, let them know that you're looking, and hopefully because, you know, lots of jobs are found by who you know. So the more you can network and get to know other dietitians joining whatever organizations are in your area, because I know in Dallas we have quite a few, that's really going to be how you find, like, your dream job.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What are some of those organizations that you're involved with?
Yeah, so there's like a national organization, like the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, and they have like little organizations like in like different areas throughout the United States. So I'm in that. And then there's another one, since I'm doing sports, it's called CPSDA. And it's been a really great resource to me. It's for like college and professional nutrition professionals. And they post like the latest research. There's like a list forum so that if you have questions, you're like, hey, like I'm working with this client, we're having this issues, we've tried this, does anyone have suggestions? It's been a great way to learn more and just see what other kinds of clients people are working with. And if like being even like access to some of like the research papers, you can all get through there.
Okay. Yeah. That'd be pretty cool to be able to have that access to those papers and be able to talk with other people in the industry about what's going on with the research. Do you have any books that you really liked, maybe about nutrition, dietetics, anything?
So actually I have one here, and this is written by a sports dietitian. It's called Fuel Your Body by Angie Ash, and she is a sports dietitian. So what I like about this is she has like information about nutrition in the front of it, and then a bunch of good recipes for athletes. So I like this one. And then Nancy Clark, she's like, I don't know, if you are in sports dietetics, like she's like a big deal. And she has like a sports nutrition guidebook that I feel like I carry around with me to read from. So those are some of the books that I like that are helpful.
That's pretty cool. I love being able to just see other people's resources and what you guys are looking at. What's a product that you use on a daily basis that helps you with your job duties?
My computer. Or my phone, like, because I do a lot on social media, so like this little guy does a lot of work for me, and then I see all my clients virtually, so my like desktop computer.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That works out really well to be able to have, you know, like you said, the mornings to be able to work on that kind of stuff and fit that in as well. using your marketing degree to help run your business. So this is the three questions left. This is a two-part question. It's if you dislike blank, then being a dietitian is not for you.
I guess food. I don't like eating. I mean, I think I like being a dietitian so much because I get to talk about food all day.
Yeah. And then if you like blank, then being a dietitian is the right career path for you.
I think food would go in there too.
That's good. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Being able to, you know, talk about food and share examples with people and help them with their food intake is pretty good. And then do you have a mantra or a quote that helps you with your work in your business?
I mean, I feel like I tell this to a lot of my athletes, but like a goal without a plan is a wish. So if you have like these big goals, but you don't have a plan to get there, I think it's more like wishful thinking than anything else. So like a lot of my athletes are like, oh, I really want to gain this muscle so I can go play in college. We have to have a plan to gain that muscle. You're not going to just gain it by like thinking about it.
Right. And just, or having a piece of paper that says what to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Being able to stick with that. So that's about all I have. If somebody wanted to get in contact with you, you know, you talked about your Instagram and getting contacts through there. What are your social media outlets for people to get a hold of you?
Yeah, so mainly like doing Instagram right now, and it's at fueling.young.athletes. I have a website, cherishnutrition.net. And then people can always email me, like lindsay@cherishnutrition.net.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for spending this time with us and talking about what you do. I really appreciate it. And it's always fun to catch up.
Yeah,